Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm your host and Phoenix Business Radio X CEO, Karen Nowicki, and I'm very excited to have a conversation today with three professionals who are making a huge impact and difference in our world on behalf of advisory boards and women everywhere and company growth and culture and all those great things that are important to us as we continue to be successful in business and leadership. I'd like to first welcome back to the studio my friend Kathleen Duffy, co-chair of the 2020 Women on Boards Initiative and also the founder and CEO for the Duffy Group.
Hi, Karen. Great to be back.
I'm thrilled to have you. And you brought some powerful partners with you.
I brought some friends of mine.
I'm so pleased. And we have an upcoming event, I think was kind of the catalyst for saying, let's get in and have this conversation again.
Correct.
Tell me when the event is.
So the 2020 Women on Boards National Conversation is on Thursday, November 21st from 11 to 2 at the Arizona Biltmore.
Okay, so we'll come back to that. We'll talk about the details and how people can get involved and who needs to be there and all that good stuff. Let me also introduce you to, please, Carrie Young, founder and CEO of Unravel My Travels and also a co-chair for the 20 on 20 Women on Boards.
That's correct. Thank you for having us here today. I'm super excited to be participating in this radio show.
I'm thrilled to have you. And tell us a little bit about Unravel My Travels, if you will.
Okay, well, before I jump into Unravel My Travels, I'm going to talk a little bit about my background. Is that okay?
Of course it is.
All right, because I'm super proud of that.
You should be.
I spent 20 years in the United States Air Force, recently retired from Salt River Project in an executive position. And as you mentioned, now I'm super excited about my new journey as the founder and CEO of Unravel My Travels. And we are your travel planning partner. We provide stress-free travel planning. One of the things that we recognize is that, you know, most people can go online and book their hotel and their lodging and their flights. But once they get to the destination, they don't know what to do. And that's where we come in, right? We want our clients to know that they can relax because we've got their plans.
And this is a fairly new venture for you.
It is, and I'm super excited about it. Yes, it is.
How does an Air Force, is it Career Air Force, did
yes.
you say? Career
yes.
Air Force and SRP executive go?
Well,
you've traveled a lot.
In both of those capacities, I was really fortunate to travel the world, leading organizations in three continents. So when I was in the Air Force and then, you know, executive travel with Salt River Project. So it just fit right in. I'm passionate about travel. I think the experiences that you learn and gain as a part of travel also helps you become a better citizen and a better person.
So you are the right person for this new, this second venture.
Absolutely.
Or third venture, really?
Yeah, third.
Something in there. Very good. Well, thanks again for being here. And Betsy Berkemer-Crader, who is the CEO for 2020 Women on Boards, is joining us as well. And also the author of The Board Game, How Smart Women Become Corporate Directors. So pleased to have you today.
Well, thank you, Karen. And joining my cohorts, Carrie and Kathy Duffy, we're planning and we're working hard to get this event in November really, not only off the ground, because we've done the Phoenix location other years, previous years, but this is going to be the biggest and the best. And I'm so proud of what Kathy and Carrie have done. And I'm from Los Angeles, just came in today and delighted to be here to talk to the Phoenix audience.
I'm so thrilled. So let's get started in the conversation that really brought the four of us together. If you would, Betsy, tell us, first of all, what is 2020 Women on Boards Initiative? And where you leave off, I know your partners here will fill in the rest as well.
It started 10 years ago, 9 years actually, in Boston by two co-founders who, while they were out jogging, kept thinking, well, gee, why don't we establish a goal for getting women on corporate boards? Now, this is public company boards and leading companies in order to help them grow better, help the productivity of the company, and have the workforce better engaged. And that was even before Credit Suisse and McKinsey reports came out with studies that said that's what happens with companies when there are women on the boards. They're more profitable, more productive, and the workforce is better engaged. They can look up and see women and role models to follow. So back then, the statistic nationally was 14% of all board seats of public companies in the U.S. were held by women. And 14% really, you know, sounds, well, okay, but that means 86% are held by men back in those days. So we've been steadily, year after year, working on the goal of achieving 20% women, at least 20% women on corporate boards by the year 2020. It all had a certain alliteration to it, and we thought that we would make it by 2020. Well, it turns out, and I am delighted to give you the news today.
Big news, hot off the press.
Even in the green room, she's like, guess what?
This is hot off the press.
New numbers that just yesterday, the goal of 20% was exceeded. It's only 20.4%, but nationwide, it's we've gotten there. Now we're going to move on to parity and other goals along the way, because we're not giving up. We're just, the momentum is building with such such speed that this is the hottest business issue in the U.S. and also the globe. We have five cities in addition, or part of our 33 cities here in the U.S. Celebrating 2020 Women on Boards. But we're very proud of that, because it's not only us where our public affairs and our public information campaign has been helping, but it's also institutional investors and other important and just small investors like you and me who want to see our investments have a better return. We're the ones who are pressuring companies to say, I want to see women on those boards because I know I at least have a chance to have a better return. And then also there's the California law and other efforts that are going on that really complement what we're doing. But we were able to announce this yesterday.
Yep.
And we're just beaming about it.
Do you have Arizona numbers as well?
I just happened to have Arizona numbers because I knew it was going to be here. And we're pretty close in Arizona.
Yeah.
Now,
we're not at the 20% mark yet.
We still have some work to do.
We're getting there.
We're close. And then we want to go way beyond. There are 38 public companies on the Russell 3000 here in Arizona. And the number of women on corporate boards as of now is 19.7%.
So close to the goal, but not anywhere where we need to be yet.
Absolutely. We need to be still way ahead of that, of course. But out of the 38 companies, 21 of them have 20% or more now. So that's right here in Arizona, and that's something to be proud of and to look up to. And that's over half of the companies have 20% now in Arizona. So, and I know that many of those companies are going to be represented at our 2020 Women on Boards event here in Phoenix. And that's what the event does, is applaud those companies who've achieved the goal already.
That's great. So sharing the acknowledgement and letting people tell us success stories about this shift is what the main purpose, or one of the reasons why you bring everybody together for this event?
You know, I think there's a couple of reasons to bring everybody together. I think first and foremost, it's an awareness campaign, and we're still pretty new here in the Phoenix market. I believe this is our third year that we've had as large a program that we had. We've had some offshoots prior to this, but we've met with Sharon Lechter, who was the co-chair before, and she did a great job launching that. But I think the other piece of it is that there's an educational component to this. So we have a keynote speaker who will be talking about her journey, and then we are going to have a panel during this presentation as well. And this year we've changed our panel up a bit so that we have some functional areas, because we're learning that boards are looking for also certain types of expertise, like cybersecurity, digital marketing, emerging markets. So we're wanting to do that. And then what we've really done differently this year, which Carrie and I are super excited about, is that we have invited corporate directors to serve as volunteers, and they will be sitting at each of the tables so that the attendees will have an opportunity to ask questions in a more intimate setting about their journey, because it's there's kind of a mystery about how do you get on that first board seat. Mm-hmm. And then first, you know, so then they can ask that question, and now we have, you know, 30 corporate directors, CEOs that are in the room. We have some women and gentlemen who are board interested and board ready. And now we can begin the networking process, because 80% of board positions, right, Betsy, are found through networking.
That is correct. And I know, because I own a retained executive search firm in Los Angeles, and it is absolutely true that most searches for corporate board members, whether looking for women or men, are not handled by search firms. Mm-hmm. Search firms are brought in after the board of directors already decides whom they want to consider, and then they engage the search firm to vet those candidates and find out more about their background. But these are all people that the board members know. So what we share with women is what you need to do in order to navigate your own pathway to a corporate board is identify 25 people in your network who know people on boards or may themselves serve on boards, and then take your board profile to those people. Take them out to coffee, take them to lunch, and share your background with them and say, I intend to serve on a corporate board in the next year or two. So, Joe, I would really appreciate your taking a look at my profile, giving me feedback. And by the way, when other people, your friends who serve on boards call you and say, hey, we're looking for a woman. Do you know one? One who's going to fit into our board and not ask too many questions? Now, that's what they often say. But what they want is somebody who's collegial and is not going to be disruptive. Unfortunately, they think we women are disruptive when we're really asking questions that trying to get to the profitability and the bottom line of a company. And but we're just being helpful for the shareholders. Mm-hmm. At any rate, we have a much better chance of getting on corporate boards now than we ever have in the past. And if you use your own networks, that is the key.
And I think one of the things that we're providing at our November 21st event is that opportunity to network, like Kathleen mentioned, right? Having
that
director
piece
at the table so you can ask your individual personalized questions.
So often when we go to events, whether they're celebratory or they're, you know, a fundraising, whatever it is, that opportunity to really network is left to before and after the main event. And it really is happenstance, just happens to be who you're in front of, right? Because you can't get across the room sometimes. Mm-hmm. So to build that into your program is brilliant, because it really serves obviously the greater purpose around just the education, the camaraderie, the advocacy, and the accountability too. So if I get to sit with somebody and ask some questions because she's gone before I have, I know she's going to be a champion for what I want to do next as it relates to getting a board seat.
And I think the other thing that I'm really proud of is that these, especially we've been partnering with the Arizona chapter of Women Corporate Directors, and they are really, they're so thrilled to be able to mentor these women. And so this is a key initiative for their professional organization. We've had so many people just jump on the bandwagon to participate and volunteer to help these people get a board seat.
Who else needs to be involved, right? So this is Business Radio X, and we really have a broad listening audience since we're internet-based. So I'm hoping that people in California and, of course, D.C. and everywhere in between is going to be listening. Who else needs to be aware of this movement, and what do you need for greater support and impact? Any one of you obviously can speak to it, or all of you can.
Well, if I could add, and I wanted to compliment Kathy and Carrie on the how they have set up the event as part of our brand, really, 2020 Women on Boards, where we recommend having volunteer directors at each table so that they not only can answer questions, but they can help each of the women, and some men attend also, help them identify what it is that is a really key value that in their sound bites about themselves at cocktail parties and receptions where they can identify, and the women leave the event knowing what they need to say about themselves.
Not just the inspiration and the motivation to go do it Monday, but really right. leave ready to do it.
Ready to do it. And to answer your question about what else we need, other corporations that are curious about whether to have women on boards, or they know that there's, I don't want to say pressure, but interest in having women on boards because of the business reasons. The other corporations should want to attend the event and just be curious, find out what it's about. And other directors, corporate directors, like Kathy said, if they can volunteer and come, we have about 30 tables to make sure we have directors seated at them.
And we almost have 30. I think we're at 28.
Look at that smile on Carrie's face.
That's
She's
great,
like,
Carrie.
Yes.
Well, our steering committee has done a fantastic job.
We've
they
had
really
a great
have.
Team.
I think our event is going to be fantastic this year. You know, last year we had about 300 attendees. This year it looks like we're going to be close to 400. So we're doing a good job.
Oh, that's great. Yep. That is really, really fantastic. And the other, where women who are hearing this broadcast and they think, Kathy mentioned, of course, their individual experience, cybersecurity, compensation, HR leaders are very much sought after for boards now because they have compensation experience and they also understand workplace culture, which is a huge issue right now. Mm-hmm. So never before 5 years ago have companies taken on HR leaders because they always have thought that HR is the expense side of a business and not the profit-making side of the business.
Or the leadership side.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now they have. So women, we want those who are listening to the show who might be curious to attend.
Yes.
And other companies, of course, can sponsor tables. This is a fundraising event for our national research because it is 2020 Women on Boards that tracks all these 3,000 companies year after year to find out how many women are on the boards and to rank those companies according to 0, 1, 2, 3, or 5 or more. And we're not trying to take over. We're just trying to get to parity and participate in business for better business.
Well, I'm going to admit that you've used the word parody a couple of times, and I'm not sure I understand how you're using it in this context. Can you elaborate on that?
It would be close to 50-50% for women on 50% men, 50% women on corporate boards.
Okay.
Is the just like a good marriage is the best possible partnership, the best possible leadership for a corporate board. Now, for years, it's always been the corporations want former CEOs on the board to advise the CEO how to run a company. But in this day and age, you need many more areas of expertise, and having a whole group of Anglo white guys who've had the same experience, maybe have come from the same university and play at the same golf club, they're not bringing the different aspects to business that is really needed to be successful today. And every business, even if it's a small business, is global today. So it's just a thing of the past. Imagine having the photograph of your on the annual report of your board with all Anglo old guys. It's just not doesn't make sense anymore.
And yet it's still happening.
Absolutely.
Partly because of unawareness or just that the little container that we're living in. I had shared before we went live that the last show I did, I had some business owners, local business owners and leaders on, and I had mentioned how excited I was about this segment. And one of the gentlemen said, "Oh my gosh, you need to see this LinkedIn post from somebody here with a lot of credibility in Arizona." And her post on LinkedIn was celebrating this recent kind of entrepreneur. I don't know if it was a think tank. I know a few of you saw that.
But, yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah.
At one of our local businesses, and while she was celebrating the success of this event and all the people that were important in the room, the people commenting on LinkedIn were like, "Hey, where are the women? Where is the diversity?" Because it's just as you described, Betsy, that old idea, the I'm going to say pleated pants version of our leadership, which is no longer doing us any benefit. And so it was great to have this man, a business owner, and his wife was in the room as well because she's a business owner as well. And he's like, "Listen, my wife should have had a seat at that table." Because
right.
she serves on boards and she's had multiple successful businesses that have sold for millions of dollars. And why wasn't she there? So,
awesome.
So the conversation is starting to really take off. And we have something like this organization to thank.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And men who have daughters are really, really supporters. They may not have been supporters when they didn't have daughters, but now that they do, they're very into the issue because they don't want their daughters to have to grow up and be discriminated against or just not have the opportunity. Because being on corporate boards, it means you run companies, you also make compensation, and your own additional compensation in addition to your day job. And the compensation is stock and cash, and it could be as much as $200,000, depending upon the size of the company. And that's in addition to your day job and your other income. And men have been building wealth for decades this way. And women just never knew about this opportunity to make money and to help companies.
Well, and I also think, Betsy, one of the things that you hit on is the fact that, you know, when you think about in the past, most board compositions, they were looking at financial and your functional expertise. But today, I think also you need to have that alignment with board responsibilities. You know, you have to be a strategic thinker. You have to have vision. You're going to be making decisions on, you know, succession planning. It's more than just having that financial and business expertise anymore.
You're right.
That's where that diversity component actually plays a significant role.
Mm-hmm. And to go back to your point about HR executives as well, culture is everything. Our new generation, the workforce coming in, Kathleen, you've taught me this. I think these are probably your words on a couple of segments you've done with us as we've talked about the Duffy Group. They're looking for companies and organizations that they want to work with and be aligned with that match their values as human beings.
Absolutely.
And part of that is culture. Mm-hmm. And is it inclusive? Is it diverse? Are they using sustainable practices? Are they honest and in integrity, right?
Yes.
So we need to have
great
that
ethics.
Full complement. It's all about ethics and making sure that everybody there is there for the good of the success of the business and the community it provides service to.
Absolutely.
And companies here in Phoenix and throughout Arizona where they have outstanding senior executive women, those companies should consider purchasing a table at the event and sending their women as part of their leadership and executive development. And it also, when women, senior level women serve on outside boards, it makes them better executives for the companies where they work. Same with men.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you continue to build that network and experience, which is a good thing as
well. Mm-hmm. So there is another dimension of this that I'd like to add about the, you might have heard about the California law.
Yes.
It's called SB, standing for Senate Bill 826, and it was named because the date, 826, August 26th, is the day that the 19th Amendment was passed by the U.S. Constitution 99 years ago, 1920, and that gave women the right to vote in the U.S., which it's just almost unbelievable to think back and think it's that recent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only 99 years. So next year, 2020, is going to be the 100th anniversary, which is the other reason we named the organization this. So in California, 7 years ago, I and other women from the National Association of Women Business Owners started an effort that we never thought we would win. We never thought. We're just ordinary citizens, and we wanted to bring together an effort to require companies to add women, not to have a quota, but to add women directors to their boards. And so the genesis of this was to have a resolution first, which you have to do, which has no teeth, no enforcement. So we had to get that passed and let it play its way out over a 3-year period to see if it made any difference. And of course, without any teeth, without any enforcement, the needle did not move. So that laid the groundwork for being able to consider an actual bill for a law. And so legions of women would go to Sacramento and testify at hearings that we organized. And there were 6 hearings, and they were brutal. And they made us do more hearings than most bills get. And they also attached a $500,000 price tag to our bill in the effort to kill it, as a matter of fact. But what this law says is that every public company headquartered in California has to have at least one woman on its board this year, 2019, and two more on their boards, a total of three by the end of 2021. And the teeth that I mentioned they didn't have before, the enforcement is a $100,000 fine this year and a $300,000 fine in 3 years. And some companies already have this number or more women on boards, and they don't have to worry about compliance at all. But there are 1/4 of the companies in the U.S. still don't have women on their boards. So they're the ones who are going to be in the U.S., but I mentioned, but it's California companies that have to comply.
And I think a good thing about that, Betsy, is that those seats now that are going to be mandated, essentially, give Phoenix businesswomen an opportunity to actually get on those boards. California is right next door to us.
Right. Absolutely.
So I was going to ask, then it leads to my question. As Carrie and Kathleen, you listen to Betsy share that success. How? What does that do within you?
Like, kind of freaks me out a bit.
That's an honest answer.
I get excited about it.
But also a little bit more accountability. So speak to both the excitement, but also the little, it freaks me out a little bit. What do we need to do here in Arizona?
Go ahead.
I think we talked earlier about as far as Arizona companies. First of all, I think it's the right thing to do, right? It's not even so much about the quotas and the numbers and the stats. It's the right thing to do. We already heard Betsy mention earlier that when you have diversity of thought and experience, companies typically make better decisions. It's a big deal. And that diversity also helps improve a company's performance. So I'm going back to, it's the right thing to do. So one of the things that we're asking our Phoenix companies to do is to come to our event on November 21st, where I mentioned we're going to have close to 400 people. We need their support and participation because they're helping us enhance the education, the advocacy, and also they're visibly showing that they're supported and committed to helping women advance their careers by participating in this important initiative. So I get super excited when I hear stats like that with the law that happened in California, because now that's saying that hopefully other states are watching and will get on board and have a similar bill passed in their area as well.
And the way you've described it, now I'm frustrated about what you had to go through, Betsy, in California.
Well, and that's what I was just going to say, because Betsy was one of the main movers and shakers to make this happen.
Yes.
So what we would have to do, A, is have Betsy move here.
That's not out of the question.
And I will let a Bruin move into Sun Devil territory. We have to get that out there.
Right.
But, you know, I guess my dream is that we don't have to do that. We don't have to take it to a legislative, you know, and the advocacy that's going on, the grassroots efforts, the pressures that are being put on leaders in these companies, that they will see the impact that women on their boards are having, and that they're just going to go, well, I'm going to jump on board.
Yes.
Yeah, to Carrie's point, it's the right thing to do.
It is.
And it just makes good business sense.
It does.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the young and up-and-comers. They want their boards to represent what they're governing.
That's right.
Their stakeholders, their employee base. So absolutely, it's just the right thing to do.
Can we talk a little bit more about inclusion and diversity and broaden it, right? So we're talking about women on boards, but when we talk about, can one of you define what is diversity and what is inclusion as it relates to corporate success in businesses?
Wow, let me think about that one.
Right.
Well, I think, again, when we talk about an inclusive structure on a board, we're talking about people from different backgrounds, different experiences. You know, one thing that always strikes me is when we talk about diversity, the first thing that people run to is race.
Yep.
But, you know, when you have a diverse group of individuals that have different thought processes, different experiences, you can move mountains.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I think there's a little bit of a difference between when you think about diversity and inclusion. Inclusion means that we're going to get to the point where we have that parity, right? We're not worried about 50% or 40%. It's the right thing to do. Equality is there for everybody, right? Doesn't matter if you're a man, a woman, if you're African-American, if you're white. It's about what you're bringing to the table, your life experiences, your business experience, your business acumen to help move that company forward. I hope I've given
my gosh. That was more than I bargained for.
It's just great.
It was perfect.
You know, I get excited. It is. An
additional point, adding on what you said, is that some of the CEOs that we've seen who have put women on their boards are relying on those women to help guide them in developing their own company to be more diverse and inclusive. And that's a good sign. A point that is so critical is that once men, and I love men, by the way. I'm married to one. That's right. This is not about men bashing. In fact, women have advantage in business, I think, in dealing in industries with men. But once they realize how great it is to have women on the boards, I was on a panel just about a month ago, and it was Young President's Organization, and two guys stood up, Anglo men, and said, well, we knew the law was coming, so end of last year, we interviewed women for the board, and no other male candidates, just women candidates, which is the only way to really get a woman candidate, because oftentimes when women are stuck onto a list with mostly men, it's the men who are going to get selected, just because the men feel comfortable, as human nature, of course. But the women have said, or these guys said, at the microphone, they said, we brought on this woman. We didn't want a woman, but we brought her on, and now we are blown away by how smart she is.
And you're all sitting back going, yeah.
Yes. Okay. And I looked at the women in the room, or just a few, and they rolled their eyeballs, of course. And then the other one stood up, gave the same story, and he said, and so we're going to we know we have another opening coming, and we're going to put that second candidate that we couldn't select for the first position because we like what the woman is doing as a board member. And they found out that we're not disruptive or other aspersions that have been thrown against women. And when we went to when we testified at the hearings in California, it was just like the Kavanaugh hearings. I just tell you, with all these white men up here and the women down in the witness table area, you women are not going to get away with this. We're going to sue you. We're going to take you all the way to the Supreme Court because this is unconstitutional.
That's
you can't
crazy.
Take a seat away from a man and give it to a woman. And then they also said companies will leave California by if you make them have to put women on the boards. And we said, that's ridiculous. Yes. And so anyway, we squeaked by. We made it through, and we have the law now. And even if no other state passes any law, we've won the victory.
Well, and to Kathleen's point, won't it be great that California set the pace for this, and other states and leaders will be watching and say because it's the right thing to do. And we know that women bring value to organizations on so many different levels, that area of expertise, that just whatever they bring, it just makes sense.
Absolutely. You know, we're doing a workshop here too, because we, during the year, as well as the November events, we do 32 events throughout the, in November on the same day, 32 events throughout the U.S. and also 5 international cities. Believe it or not, the Zurich and Mexico City and London and Madrid, Hong Kong all have 2020 Women on Boards campaigns going. Really is. So we're helping the women understand not only what to say about themselves, but how to put their package together. Their profile and their LinkedIn profile, as well as their board profile. That's what our workshop tomorrow is all about. And we help the women understand that it is up to them to get themselves on corporate boards. No search firm is going to call a woman for her first corporate board unless it's just a lucky break. But women cannot depend upon that.
Right.
And also, I wanted to emphasize that our research, not only 2020 Women on Boards research, but the Credit Suisse and McKinsey research that talks about the advantages of having women on boards, is the only research we really have for our gender. And our gender includes women of all colors, all backgrounds, and not just white women. And sometimes we're accused that this is just a white women's issue. Not at all. In fact, companies who are smart enough to put an African-American or a Latina woman on their boards, they get to check two boxes, not just one.
Yeah.
Right? Well, so we are the gender of women.
To the table. I have to keep reminding of that. You know, it's not just about our race.
Right.
We're bringing our skills and our experience to the table as well to help them be successful.
Right. Yeah. Totally agree. Yeah. So the workshop is tomorrow here in Arizona. Is it also in other states tomorrow specifically?
Not tomorrow. We have it other states throughout the year, but we call it our Get On Board workshop. Get on board with an exclamation point, just as if it were a train conductor saying, get on board.
And who's our sponsor? We should acknowledge them.
Oh, yes. And so we're very fortunate that we have Lovett and Touche as the primary sponsor, and then Copper Point Insurance is also
Copper
a sponsor.
Point.
Yes, I know.
Copper Point. Good. Yay. Very good.
Yay, Mark.
So an all day, yes.
All day. In fact, why don't you come, Karen?
I so wish I could.
Yes.
I really, really wish I could, but I've got to broadcast tomorrow and I have a commitment. But there are other top opportunities throughout the year at in other states and locations. Will Arizona do it again during this calendar year or 2020 again?
Probably 2020.
Yeah, in 2020 we'll do it.
How can we learn about it? Because I really wish I could be there tomorrow.
You know, I would say that this is Carrie's and my first year running this event, so we've learned a lot.
Absolutely.
It's kind of
trial by fire.
Trial
yes.
by fire, baptism.
Yep.
So I think that what we've been able to do now is really get this platform, and now we are going to know how to continue the momentum moving forward. And we've got people that are in the wings that we're going to be pulling in for next year who will, you know, so we've got some succession planning going on.
And they can also follow us on social media too as well.
Right.
We have a great social media steering committee person. I'm going to give Wendy Anderton a shout out because she is fantastic.
Yes. And in fact, Wendy was one of the women who commented on this thread I was speaking about earlier, and I smiled because she's just a force to be reckoned with.
She is fantastic.
And so savvy.
And she's helping us with our social media in Arizona for 2020 Women on Board. So that's another way that people can find out about the future trainings and about our event. We're on LinkedIn, we're on Twitter and Facebook.
And we have our global website, 2020wob.com. So all of the events in all the cities in the U.S. Are listed.
Events and workshops
and
opportunities to get involved.
And next year, 2020 is going to be our blowout year because it's the milestone making. We already made 20% this year, but it will be celebrating that fact. And then Evolving will certainly have a new name in the announced next year because 2020 will be behind us, but the future
the initiative
is ahead.
And the work and the momentum doesn't stop.
Right.
We won't stop.
It's just
got
the beginning.
A long way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To 50-50. So,
I like the sound of that already.
50-50. That you do
Wait
like
minute,
that
we
sound.
Won't be, huh? We can do 20-50. How's that?
Sounds like too long away.
30, yeah, true.
Love it. All right. So let's speak to the November 21st event again. It's from 11 to 2. Let's recap again. Who needs to be there? We have tables to fill. It's just going to be an incredible event.
So the way that the things are structured for us is that we have a steering committee. We have a steering committee of 30. And that so each of them have part of that opportunity is to fill a table. So we automatically have 30 tables that are filled. And then we have been collecting people who have attended this event in the past. And so we'll be inviting them that they will be able to buy a seat if that's what they want. But we have 17 what we call W companies here in Arizona. And those are companies that currently have 20% or more women on their boards. And we have four of them are on our steering committee. Mm. Two of them have board members who are going to be corporate volunteers. So that's a kind of a low number. And so we've got some work to do to be able to build that awareness and invite those people.
But send them this episode, this
podcast.
And we
do plan to acknowledge and recognize those winning companies as well at the event. So that's a big deal to have their companies there represented.
I think what's also interesting about this group of 17 of those, only two of them have women CEOs.
Yeah, very few, yes.
Taylor Morrison and Cable One are the only two. The other thing that's very interesting about the Phoenix market is I read the Business Journal, you know, like a dirty magazine sometimes, you know. But
TMI.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, we've got the first female CEO is at Billingtree. She came in January. That's Christine Lee. Jennifer Lohr is the new CEO of Cyber Scout. She just joined us in the last couple of months. Nancy Hamm is the CEO over at WebPT and at Finsterbusch. She's at Empower. Marag Lucy over at Talverde. Renee Krug at Global Trans and Julie Lawless at Cable One. And so what we're seeing, that those are all technology companies, is that Arizona is really leading the way in terms of recruiting women to their C-level slots in technology here. So it's really exciting.
And we have great momentum building up here in the Phoenix market. We got a great lineup. Kathleen, you mentioned our 28 steering committee members. We added two yesterday,
which
was really fantastic. So now we are up to 30 steering committee members. Perfect. It's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Two yesterday, we were super excited about that. So.
Mm-hmm. And for those who might be curious as a result of today's discussion, for women in the audience, your audience, Karen, who think, well, gee, am I qualified to serve on a corporate board? Why should I go if I'm not? Most women who are in business could serve on small boards, even if they can't serve on big, you know, big large cap boards. They can serve on micro cap or nano cap boards. And there are private equity companies that are looking for women on their boards. Now, of course, it's embarrassing that WeWork went public about a month ago with seven white men on their board. And with the public backlash that occurred, then they had to put a woman on the board. They didn't want to, obviously, but they did. And also, I used to love to kick around Skechers, because Skechers, we women, they're 80% of their customers are women. Mm-hmm. Well, we're Skechers. They wouldn't put a woman on their board for love or money until the law. And so now they have a woman on their board, but the CEO had just for years refused to put a woman on their board. So you'd be amazed, all of the women in this audience may be qualified to serve on corporate boards and coming to our workshops and to our event to learn how to navigate their network of connections through their business connections, even through some of their personal connections. Some of them that might have a cousin who's a CEO.
No
right?
doubt.
And if anybody knows a CEO or a director of a California company, that woman here in Arizona, here in Phoenix, should write a letter to the CEO or the director and say, hey, consider me in Phoenix, Arizona, to bring our perspective to your corporate board and my professional expertise.
Absolutely.
And then if the other aspects about getting on corporate boards are the visibility of the woman and whether or not she's had prior board experience. Now, that's a chicken and the egg kind of roadblock, because you can't get prior board experience if you can't get on a board.
Right.
So, but
like
nonprofit,
your first job out of college.
Nonprofit. Yeah, nonprofit boards count and commissions count. And you mentioned advisory boards early on. That all counts, even though it's not official corporate board.
But you're getting your chops, you're having your experience, you're showing that you're out there.
Building the network.
Mm-hmm. I love that you just alluded to it, and Carrie had said when you were talking about the California law, I didn't even think until Carrie had mentioned it, now you've mentioned it again, that as an Arizona leader, of course, we're so close to California. Why wouldn't we be considered for that board seat? And when Kathleen and Sharon Lecter were here last time talking about the 2020 On Board Women Initiative, I remember, so that's just been a year. I think it's been just a year.
Yeah.
And I was fairly new at operating and owning Phoenix Business Radio X. And we talked a little bit about, I'm serving on a couple of nonprofit boards right now. And just like, gosh, would I be that? Just like you described, would I be a candidate for this? I think at that lower level, I am. But a year ago, when we were talking about it, I just thought, I don't think it's me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now it's a year later. I have that many more experiences under my belt. I have that many more connections as it relates to our economy and our business and our leadership here in Arizona. And then you said something at the very beginning of the segment that really made a difference for me. And it helps me better understand why we all need to be there for this event in November. It's about how you position yourself and how you advocate for yourself and the connections that you have. And so now a year later, I'm like, oh my goodness, so many people know who, I'm just speaking very personally and professionally from my experience, but I hope somebody listening has a similar story. I know I need a seat at the table. I know what I bring. And I don't know that I could have said that a year ago. And now I have the connections because I've been building that network.
And you're a business owner.
Right.
And you know how to build a business.
And
you
an
know
entrepreneur.
How to, absolutely.
Yeah. So to your point, if you're listening and you're not sure where to start, or if you are, you know, in the right position to move into a board seat, you got to start somewhere. And this is the group of people, men and women, who are going to help you get there and give you the right direction and guidance to land that opportunity. Because again, I'm going to keep saying, Carrie said it first, it just makes sense. It's just the right thing to do. And we need you. We need your leadership. We need your background. We need your experience and expertise.
Karen, we're going to put you on the steering committee.
Yes, we do.
That was perfect.
I am with you all the way in this. And I will be there in November. I'm upset that I can't come tomorrow, because I know I would benefit greatly from the workshop, but I will be tuning in and listening for when another opportunity is, either in Arizona or elsewhere. And I would love to be more involved when you prepare for the 2020 beyond, whatever this next iteration of this is.
You heard it here.
Yes. Well, it's an easy
number.
That's right. There's no convincing. I'm already committed. What have we not covered about the event? Let's finish that before we begin to close up the segment. Is there anything else, details? How do you somebody find out more about the, either buying a table or becoming a sponsor or just attending?
So they can go to the national website, right, at 2020wob.com. And then there they can click on the tab that says cities. And then Phoenix will bubble up. And then there's a link that will get you to be able to register.
Perfect. And Betsy, you mentioned that the same day, I mean, it's happening at every place that these chapters are located. Am I right?
Right. And the reason it's so unusual to have 33 events on the same day is because it takes a whole year to put together the research to announce. Now, generally, we've announced the research on the same day. It's very newsworthy. And then all the women attending, and men attending, because they're part of the solution, understand what the latest statistic is. But just because we were able to figure out that this week, the statistic already reached 20%. That news was so big that we couldn't hang on to it until November, and we wanted to share it with the world now, and then celebrate it and really do a lot more with it in November. But the gatherings of these folks of in every event, there's going to be a total of 10,000 people on the same day, and 400 of them right here in Phoenix. So we've got 800 in the Los Angeles event, 500 in New York. We have supposedly 600 in Chicago. It just adds up. And that's why I mentioned it's the hottest issue in business today. And women are realizing, and it, sort of leaving with last thoughts about what women can do for themselves, they're realizing that if they simply start to say at cocktail parties or business receptions that I intend to serve on a corporate board in the next 2 years. So, Joe, I'd like your counsel on this. And it's also good cocktail conversation.
It
you know,
is.
It's interesting. And the people you're talking to think, well, gee, this woman knows what she's talking about.
If only y'all had been here yesterday before I hosted a cocktail party of 150 people here, I would have had the language and the zest and the power behind me.
Right.
So that next one, I am your target person. I mean, I'm a small business owner.
That's
and fairly
fine.
New at it. But I so see the value, as you all have spoken to. So I love it's not complicated. It doesn't have to be hard. Mm-hmm. We already have the qualifications and the experience. People just need to know that.
And you need to talk about it yourself. And when you have guests on the show and they happen to be,
I'm gonna start
private equity men, or they're going to go with public with their companies, who say, Joe, I think I should be on your board, and here's why. And they just might listen.
I love it.
And I think that's really what is going to happen at the Get On Board workshop tomorrow, because the hardest part is to have those sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you say that? How does it come across in the right way? Because whatever that sound bite is, it has to be clear and concise so that it, the person that you're speaking with goes, kind of like, oh, bang, I should have had a V8. Right. And get this person. And I think that's what's going to be really great about it. And then to be able to build out, to identify, identify 25 people in your network, and to start having those conversations and start practicing that language.
And I'm going to throw in, even by serving on this committee as a steering committee member, you have an opportunity to expand your network. I have now 35 new women, female friends in different cities across the U.S. and in five other countries now by participating in this event on this national broad level. So, you know, you get the local perspective and then you also get to network beyond Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thank you for that.
Of course. Yes. And even if you're a person who's curious, just wondering, and man or woman, and especially men with daughters, if you're curious about this issue, you'll learn a lot just by coming to the November event.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, one last thing, mm-hmm. it's also just a great opportunity to start mentoring our young women.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we you know, all of us are very involved in mentoring our young professionals. And to be able to put that in the back of their mind, no one ever said to me, have you ever considered serving on a corporate board? Right. That just wasn't part of even my vision. And now we can start saying that to our young women and they can start thinking about it. And so while they're in their mid 30s, for example, they can start building that strategy out, which may be to start serving on a nonprofit board.
Right. Or on a commission or.
Exactly.
So a little bit of a tangent, but I think it ties in really well. Joe Paz does his show out of our studio, has for 2 years, and it's called Project Management Office Hours. Mm-hmm. And originally from Atlanta, he's been here for 2 years, and he embraced this idea that he ought to be a radio host, trusted me on that, and now he's just making a huge impact truly worldwide on behalf of project managers. He had a couple women on. One was via Skype, and I think she was from Australia. She was interviewing a lot of women in project management from all different business sectors and industries. And Joe was kind of watching her on LinkedIn, and he said, would you come and do a segment with us? And then he invited a couple local women that she had interviewed. And in that interview, big old tough Joe got very teary-eyed because these two women who were local were talking to the guest from Australia who created this really neat momentum around women in project management. And they were thanking her for giving them a voice and for being able to say some of the struggles they'd experienced in their profession, a very male-dominated profession, and were in deep gratitude for them to open up the network. Like Carrie just said, now they have these friends worldwide, and this camaraderie and this belief and the wings underneath them that they often didn't feel themselves. It wasn't until after the on-air button went off and we were done with the segment that my big old friend Joe, as masculine as they get, he said to the ladies, I'm so pleased that I got to give you this gift to tell these stories and connect like this, because other than the interview, they hadn't been collectively together. He said, but I've thought of my daughter the whole time you were talking.
Excellent.
And she's a freshman in high school. And he said, it's never dawned on me some of the things that they shared about the struggles they've experienced being a woman in business, that that's something he needs to watch out for her and give her that guidance. And he never had thought about it. And he's a very inclusive gentleman, and he's really just a great advocate for everybody. But when he talked about his daughter, Kathleen, as you've mentioned mm-hmm. a couple of times, that made it personal. It brought it home, and he had tears in his eyes. And I just thought, oh my gosh, one, I was thrilled that, you know, I'm giving him this platform and the opportunity, right. but then he gets to give that gift to people. And now he gets to be the guardian and the chariot. Maybe that's not the best word as it relates to a dad taking care of his daughter, because we want her to be fierce and on her own with that. But now he's keeping an eye out for his daughter, for those leadership opportunities, for her guidance as it relates to communication and choosing her career and all of that wonderfulness. So if that's another great nugget out of today's segment, making sure that men and women who are in leadership roles and leading our organizations, that they think about their niece, their daughter, whoever it is, and what do we want for them?
Absolutely. I think that aligns so well with that servant leadership model, right? Where we're here to serve others so that they can be successful and better. And in turn, we're all better and successful.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it.
Just imagine if more men, if every man in business did this for his daughter and helped to open doors and, you know, not in a pushy way, but just emphasizing to her what she needs to learn and help her learn these facts about business, we would change to 50% pretty quick, I should think.
We would. Mm-hmm. And I just got this visual as you're saying that for generations, our dads and our grandfathers have done that for our brothers.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Without even batting an eye. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we're just saying, open up, you know, open it up a little bit and remember that all of us have something great to offer.
And I think we as women can do the same thing,
yes.
right? Support each other. Be that mentor, that peer, that network for somebody to help them, you know, with whatever they're trying to accomplish.
Yep. Love it. Well, we are just about out of time. I would love for us to share one more time again the website, the national website, and anything else that I hadn't thought to ask that really would be important for us to end this segment with. Maybe there isn't any. Maybe we've covered it all, but I want to give you another opportunity.
Yeah, I think we've covered quite a bit, but the website is 2020wob.com, and then they can go to the tab that says cities and hit the Phoenix city. But if they are listening and they're in another city, there's 33 other places that you can go to as well. We're just very, very happy that Betsy is here.
So honored.
It's been a real joy to get to know Betsy over this past year. And
I feel the same about all of you. So
and for your leadership on this effort, Betsy, right. I'm just saying you're a pioneer here. Couldn't have
been I'm a pioneer.
Without right. women like
and
you,
I look
seriously.
So young for you being are, a pioneer.
You do. And she's just been, you know, she's so inclusive of our steering committee, the host committee. And we're just, like I said, we're just very happy to have you here. We really appreciate your leadership.
Well, thanks,
and I'm
Gabby.
Glad that we could,
thanks,
Karen, have her yes. involved
oh,
in this
so
conversation
pleased.
Because she really is an expert in this
Absolutely.
In this space and can help us.
Well, I'm delighted to be here
message.
And just want to congratulate the two of you for putting on a great event here in Phoenix. And in closing remarks for other women, what can they do, especially if a woman may not be a potential board member who maybe really doesn't have the business background, she can still be part of this campaign by checking her proxy statements. Everybody has a 401k and your money is invested somewhere. But most of us never, ever look at the proxy statements that come every year to ask for your vote. Are you going to vote for this? Prove this slate of board directors. And when women see on those proxy statements that there are no women on the board, then they need to write to the CEO. They need to say, you know, I kind of wonder why. Just to bring up the question. You'd be amazed how much just that awareness is helping. So vote your proxy statements. Definitely you can join. This is not a membership organization, but you can sign up to be on our database at 2020wob.com, and you'll get our quarterly newsletters and a monthly challenge. Every month we send out a challenge to companies that don't have any women on their boards, and it's already pre-written and everything. It says, by the way, I noticed you, Mr. CEO, don't have any women on your board. Now, why
that
is that?
Again, having yes. that script is really
yes.
helpful.
Absolutely.
And
right.
what a great note to end on, Betsy, around if you don't have the leadership or it's not your thing, be watching for
how
your company
help.
And how you can help. Awesome.
True.
Carrie, how about you? Lasting thoughts.
I just hope everybody comes and participates with us on November 21st. I mentioned, you know, it's going to be a huge blowout event. We've got about 400 people attending. We're looking for other Phoenix and like-minded people who want to see this initiative move forward to come out and celebrate with us on November 21st at the Biltmore.
Good job.
Wonderful invitation. Ladies, again, I can't thank you enough. This has been a pleasure. I'm inspired. I'm motivated. I know that I need a seat on a board, and I'm going to make sure that I advocate to get there. And I'm going to utilize, obviously, your help and your guidance and mentorship to make that happen. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona Business Radio X studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.